Could I just start by asking for a show of hands? How many of us here believe that we've entered the sixth mass extinction of species on Earth? Okay. How many believe that climate crisis is our biggest challenge at the moment? So pretty unanimous, really. How many believe money will save us? Not one hand. So I think that's pretty real, isn't it? We're all seeing that money is being placed before our environment and our futures. After Grenfell Tower burned on 14th of June 2017, killing 72 people and making 223 homeless, it took 2.5 years to raise and deliver most of the 20.5 million from donations. In the meantime, local residents and other sympathisers filled the gap left by fleeing local councils and government representatives. When the Notre Dame toppled, within 2 days, material support was set to exceed 1 billion euros. It made me wonder if homeless or poverty-struck French citizens and struggling businesses thought how many services would suffer from the potential tax write-offs claimed by those who conjured these euro millions overnight. Is it reliable then to rely upon those who are masters at raising the most money to tackle climate crisis? Or does it divert us from more effective avenues while convincing the electorate of intransigent political and commercial self-indulgence? People wonder if they figure in the calculations. Is it any surprise that they've formed countless organisations to counter the unprovoked and what would otherwise be criminal violence imposed upon them by the privileged? Any surprise when it draws misappropriation from far left and right wing factions riding the wave to supplement their own agendas? What legitimate form of redress remains that is not subverted by corporate, political and legal process, legitimised in media as the bastille of social law and order? Whilst the Arab Spring and all resistant movements since got subsumed as brief hiccups in 21st century political history, the Gilets Jaunes filled the Champs-Élysées, British Extinction Rebellion protesters disrupt the London transport network, so politicians turn their attention to future taxpayers. China plan their moon base, and NASA spend billions in taxes on reaching the red planet. Other nations within Europe wait in the wings for the outcome of Brexit, plotting their own independence and racist, nationalist, neo-fascist, separatist thinking through what has come to be legitimised through global economics as protectionism. And all through the Middle East and Africa, brutality separates political and militarised factions and desperately endangered people from their own countries, while Russia and the US pursue a new destabilising fiscal Cold War, despite accusations of a pally relationship even Britain would envy right now. The second hand of the final decade ticks towards the cliff edge from which global warming will dramatically tip us if we don't jump first. If commerce and politics have little will to alter course, who does? And what could that change be? Where does the power actually lie? Are we all as powerless as we feel? Or will individual efforts not even forestall the inevitable? Is the twin-towered edifice of capitalism and democracy worth saving? Disillusionment is a significant part of premeditated disempowerment, mainly through use of media. Lack of powerful opposition in each region leads to panic strategies and manipulation of the financially powerless. When Trump saw an emergence and expansion of left-wing activism and campaigning across the United States, he countered with a right hook, using nationalist, racist and sexist language to galvanise hatred of globalism, diverting many into believing he was their true red, white and blue-collar saviour, whilst he picked their pockets to make the ultra-rich wealthier. Division and diversion, the ageless tactic of global competition. People see all kinds of dedicated, self-sacrificing, humane opposition quashed, and only negative movements making headway, culminating in what some regard as an endless, exhausting cycle with nothing new on the table. But these power struggles are not merely the promotion of colonialist and imperialist ideologies spouted from the autocue. They are the panic-stricken, pre-apocalyptic, loosening grasp on the diminishing edge of fatality. Fear of loss and collapse, the prime motivator. Hence, divert and disempower all individuals in opposition to concentrate wealth between the more manageable 1%. 95% of that wealth, totally unrelated to production and trade, rendering them automatons to the shifting sands of financialization and escalating world debt. To the remotest regions of the planet, communities witness alterations in weather patterns and increased disasters. Nobody exempt. Putting the reason down to money makes the only sense, as money is the prime motivator. So asking for more from capitalists is core to most proposals. This is why authors of the Green New Deal, not necessarily in opposition, suggest global warming is placed on a war footing. This so far has led only to increased subterfuge and diversion. But what if there is a way for the disempowered to form their own diversion? To bypass the political and commercial dissociation with the determined impersonal evil fostered by neoliberal economics? Is it, as many new economic models suggest, through more protectionism and localised economies? Or will capitalists listen to them and suddenly grow moral consciences? Reliance on commerce and politics has convinced people they're simply wasting their time, that doomsday scenarios are inevitable. So with all this desperate grasping for the wealth devolved to so few, what are our immediate options? We have to get real, to see around the subterfuge.